Hello, friends. This is Paul Scharf, Church Ministries representative with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. I'd like to talk to you today about more of the signs of the times and just share some thoughts on the topic of eschatological agnosticism. Is it truly the intellectually superior approach? Now you say, eschatological agnosticism. What in the world is eschatological agnosticism? Well, eschatology is the study of last things, the study of the end times. To put it simply, the study of Bible prophecy. To be an agnostic, in the general sense, that term is used of someone who is not an atheist, but simply has no knowledge, no certainty. He doesn't know for sure in his mind whether God exists or not, or whether there is no God. So when we use that term in other contexts, like eschatological agnosticism, it refers to someone who is not certain, not convinced of a specific eschatological system or a specific approach or interpretation of Bible prophecy. It's sort of like the fellow who said, I'm not a premillennialist, I'm not a postmillennialist, I'm not an amillennialist. He said, I'm a panmillennialist. To which a friend responded, panmillennialist? What in the world is a panmillennialist? And the first man said, well, he said, I just believe that it's all going to pan out in the end. Now, that's a nice little funny story to tell, but it's really not how we want to approach biblical prophecy. Because did you know that the book of Revelation, the capstone of all of Holy Scripture, the New Testament book that is dedicated to explaining the future to us surrounding Jesus' second coming, is the only book of the Bible that uniquely gives us a blessing. It pronounces a blessing at both the beginning and the end of the book for those who will read and understand the words of this book. Revelation 1 verse 3 says, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. And then Jesus himself speaks at the end of the book in Revelation 22 verse 7, saying, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And really the rest of the chapter sort of develops that theme throughout Revelation 22. Now, there have been wonderful Bible scholars and teachers who have not agreed with me and the Friends of Israel with regard to eschatology. They may be amillennial or postmillennial or even sort of panmillennial, if you will, sort of uncommitted, uncertain about any specific system, or particularly the premillennial, pre-tribulational, dispensational system, in their ministries. And yet in other areas, they may be able to teach us many things, and we appreciate, we learn from them, we relate to them as brothers in Christ, and we appreciate their study, their dedication, their scholarship. And there have been some well-known eschatological agnostics in that sense. And I'm not trying to make this personal. I'm not going to name any names or, you know, tell you people that I'm necessarily thinking about. There's all kinds of examples we could give in all of these groups, and that's not the purpose of this video. I'm more concerned with a trend that we're seeing today. I think there's a new brand of eschatological agnostics. And maybe the people that I referred to a moment ago, who are, you know, up here on a scholarship level, whether from the past or the present, men who are able to teach us all kinds of things about biblical backgrounds, biblical languages, biblical history, church history. Maybe these people have lent credibility sometimes to the idea that, well, you can really, if you're really intellectual, even, you're actually going to be an eschatological agnostic. You're going to be unsure, you're going to be uncertain, or at the very least, you're going to not be pre-tribulational, premillennial, dispensational. And I'm noticing that there's a trend in our time, it seems, of some who formerly were committed, or at least were certainly well taught in premillennialism, pre-tribulationalism, dispensationalism. And now they say, you know, well, I'm not really sure about that anymore. I'm open to other ideas. I'm really not convinced of a pre-tribulational rapture anymore. And I want to ask some questions about that, because I wonder if that's really an intellectually superior position to take. Because sometimes it's presented in that way that, you know, I've become sort of enlightened. I'm not really committed anymore back to what we used to learn about the pre-trib rapture. I've sort of grown and matured. I've become more exposed to other ideas and greater scholarship. And I don't necessarily hold to that anymore. Is that really an intellectual position? Now think with me about this. If, it seems to me, if you're going to take that sort of an approach, you're going to turn away from the pre-trib rapture and say, well, you know, maybe it's mid-trib, maybe it's post-trib. My first question would be, do you believe in a literal tribulation? Because I assume at one point you believed in a pre-trib rapture followed by a literal 7-year tribulation. Do you still believe there's a literal coming 7-year tribulation? Now, perhaps part of the change is they've changed to a spiritual or allegorical view of that tribulation. But if you still believe in a literal tribulation, and you believe, or you're at least open to a mid-trib or a post-trib rapture, and the idea that we as the church are going to go through part or most or all of the tribulation, my question would be then, what are you doing to prepare for that? You say, what do you mean? Well, if you believe that there's actually a tribulation coming, and friends, as we look out in the culture this summer, we get a taste, a tiny taste of what that could be like through the events that are unfolding across the country right now. If you really believe there's a literal time of tribulation coming and you believe the church is going to be here for it, when are your work nights going to begin? You say, what work nights? Well, work nights where you're going to be building projects, maybe, you know, underground bunkers where you can hide during the coming tribulation as a church and continue to assemble and survive. You say, really? Well, if you believe in a literal coming tribulation, wouldn't it make sense that you would believe that we need to take the necessary and careful preparations to enter in and survive that time of tribulation? Wouldn't that be reasonable? Wouldn't that be normal if you believe we're really going to be entering into what the Bible describes as the 7 years of tribulation? See, it seems to me they sort of want to keep on borrowing from the hope that they have previously of the pre-trib rapture, and just sort of hope with that if it's not pre-trib, that the tribulation becomes sort of spiritual, allegorical, and somehow it just kind of all pans out. I'm not sure that's really an intellectual position to take at all. If the Bible describes a literal coming tribulation and you believe we're going to be here for part of it, or all of it, wouldn't you want to be preparing for that? Now, please, no, I don't think we need to prepare for it because I don't believe we're going to be here for any of it. I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture of the church. But if you believe we are going to be here for it, and yet you're doing nothing to prepare. Wouldn't that be sort of like somebody in Noah's day saying, you know, I understand God has told us the flood is coming, but I don't think we need to build an ark. I think that somehow we'll be okay. Wouldn't that be kind of like that? If you believe in a literal tribulation, but not a pre-trib rapture, shouldn't you be spending most of your waking hours preparing yourself, your family, your congregation for the tribulation? I just wanted to ask that question. Not to get anyone working on doing those kind of preparations, because again, I don't think they're necessary. I don't think that's what we should be doing with our time. But I do wonder about those who are abandoning their view of the pre-trib rapture and whether they've really thought this through. And I do wonder also if the abandonment of the pre-trib rapture could actually be a signpost that we're heading closer to the times the Bible describes that will be fulfilled at the end during the coming tribulation. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, said, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know, it was the emphasis, the movement of preaching the word expositionally, verse by verse, that came as a long-term, in-depth root of the Reformation, and started to really bear fruit in the 19th century. It was from that movement that the dispensational, pre-tribulational movement really sprang. And I'm just afraid that we're giving up some wonderful blessings very easily without really thinking through some of the issues involved. If we just flippantly say, well, I used to be pre-trib, but, you know, I'm not so sure anymore. And I hope we're not just doing it because we think it sounds intellectually superior, when in fact, I'm not sure that it is so at all. Some food for thought for you today about the signs of the times. Thanks for listening, and God bless you. This is Paul Scharf for the Friends of Israel. Thanks so much.